Support comes from the Arizona Inn, a Four Diamond, family-owned historic resort hotel and restaurant on Elm Street near the U of A. Information is at arizonainn.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Zona Politics. I'm Jim Ninsel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly and Tucson Local Media. And today we're taking a bit of a detour away from the politics to talk about movies and rock and roll. Coming up, I'll talk with Peggy Johnson about the plan to restore the Lost Cinema's gorgeous marquee. But first, we're going to talk with Joey Burns of Calexico, who is teaming up with Iron and Wine to release the new album Years to Burn. Calexico teamed up with Iron and Wine back in 2005, so this is their second collaboration, and they'll be back in the album with a tour across North America and Europe, including a stop at the Rialto Theater on Saturday, August 17th. Joey, welcome to Zona Politics.
Hey, Jim. It's nice to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me.
So, as I said, you first teamed up with Sam 14 years ago, and you finally found the right window to get back together with him. You guys are all busy people. And you put together this new album. Talk about who's playing on it. It was you and John Convertino and your trumpet player, Jacob Valenzuela, from Calexico. Right. And who did Sam bring along?
Yeah, Sam, when we recorded many years ago, it was all of the members of Calexico recorded there in Tucson at Craig Schumacher's place, Wave Lab. And for this time, we wanted to do things different. And Sam wanted to bring a couple of his guys, and we would bring a couple of our guys. So Sam brought his bass player, who he's been playing with for a while, named Sebastian Steinberg. He played with Soul Coughing way back when, and he lives in Los Angeles and basically is playing with a lot of different people. And then he wanted to bring keyboardist Rob Berger, who some people might recognize as being one of the members of Tin Hat Trio, who were an all-instrumental trio back in the 2000s. Really great band. And Rob lives in Portland and has a new record his own coming out just recently and has Laurie Anderson on there. It's called The Grid. And he's supremely talented. So the six of us all met in Nashville. And then while we were in Nashville, we knew that Paul Niehaus lives there, so we wanted to get Paul back on the record. So Paul is doing a great job on this recording.
He used to be tour and play with you guys in
all the time. Yeah. I mean, you know, we wanted to do something different, and so Paul wound up doing a bunch of touring with Justin Townes Earl, and he's also played with Iron and Wine. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, with musicians, it's fun, you know, to kind of mix it up and change it out. So it was really nice having a reunion there with not only Sam and Rob, but also with Paul. And the session only took like 4 or 5 days. It was a really quick session.
It sounds like it gelled really right from the start.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, I think everyone kind of is a good player and the songs are great. And we had enough time as well to sort of experiment, which is a little different than what we had done on the EP In the Rain. So John had a suggestion. He said, why don't we try something totally different? Why don't we just do something free, without rhythm, melody, or lyrics, and just see what happens? And Sam loved the idea. And that's, to me, that's where like Jacob really shines, as does Rob Berger, the keyboardist.
And that's the song Outside El Paso on the album.
Yeah, for sure. It feels like you're kind of dropping into a great abyss, or, you know, a lonely stretch of highway in Texas.
Hey, talk a little bit about doing that kind of sonic exploration.
It's a blast. I mean, you know, it kind of falls right into what Calexico's done quite a few times, both on album and on our tour only albums, or even live. I mean, we'll kind of have little transitions or free improvisational moments where we just kind of make stuff up, and it gives a chance for not only the musicians but the audience sort of have a pause or a breath of fresh air.
And at the center of the album is this song, The Bittersweet. It's a really interesting kind of mashup going on there. Talk a little bit about the pieces. There's three pieces in that. Talk about that.
Sure. Well, it's all kind of based around Sam's tune that is titled Tennessee Train. Beautiful song. And I said, hey, what if we took a verse, translated it into Spanish, and had Jacob sing it? I mean, it would be really nice to kind of have a different voice come in. And I was thinking of, you know, doing something in 6/8. And so I kind of got my nylon guitar on. Sam got his. And Sebastian also picked up a nylon string guitar. So three of us were just kind of strumming. There was no bass or drums. And here I was thinking of doing something sort of in the the Calexico vein, if you will. But Sam started doing this finger picking pattern that was really beautiful. And so I sort of backed off for a bit and just kind of made space for others to kind of make the basis of this song, which then became Pájaro. And I think that sort of is symbolic for me in regards to the whole process, where it's you're getting involved, you're collaborating with your friends. It's a great excuse just to get together and catch up. But it's also fun to play music and see what sort of surprises can come out. And this one, by far, this Bittersweet was the biggest surprise. And from there, I also suggested just, you know, taking some, you know, chords or a chord for the song Evil Eye, which again, I just kind of borrowed, you know, a couple of words from that song, Tennessee Train, and just kind of vamped out on one chord, and it got dirty and funky really quick. And that was really fun. So we had three tunes, all kind of, you know, variations on a theme, if you will. And Sam thought it'd be really fun if we just kind of mushed them all together into a medley, which then became Bittersweet.
It's a terrific bit of music. And talk about that last song on the album. You dusted off one of Sam's earliest demos and brought it back to life. And you did it in a real hurry. It was on your birthday, I think.
Yeah. So it was December 10th, and we were just planning basically on listening back to what we had and starting mixing with engineer Matt Ross Spang at Sound Emporium Studios in Nashville. And I think that it was Howard Grenells, Sam Beam's manager and a good friend of all of ours, who initially had suggested us getting together in the first place. And he said, hey, you know, there's this old song. And I was just thinking, if we had time today and if you were interested, we could record it. And he played it for me, and I thought, wow, this is a really great song. And I looked on his playlist on his iTunes folder, and there was a ton more of, you know, unreleased Sam Beam demos from the beginnings of his musical career as Iron and Wine. I'm like, oh my God, this is a gold mine here. So we dusted it off and we picked up our guitars and just kind of jumped in the studio moments before people had to hop on flights to head back home. So it was a nice surprise in a way, a nice little gift, especially on my birthday.
It's a great send-off at the end of the album.
Yeah, it's a great song. You know, for me, you know, the chorus, the last line of the chorus, someone will catch you if you want to fall. And I think that's just a really great theme to underscore the importance of each other, community, friends, music, you name it. So I was really happy with that one.
And it's a little bit about going wild that once in a while, which I think is important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's just kind of like that Mediterranean Zorba the Greek spirit, but with sort of a Appalachian twist, I would say.
Without a doubt. So who's going on the tour, and what kind of show can fans expect?
Well, it's going to be Sam and I and John, Jacob, Rob Berger, and Sebastian, just the six of us. And there'll be some, you know, some musical guests, I'm sure, along the way. Some great support acts, too. And it's going to be, we'll do both the In the Rains album, and we'll do this latest album, which is coming out, Years to Burn. And then we'll probably do some cover songs like we've done in the past. And then Sam has proposed he will choose a couple of Calexico songs to sing, and he wants Jacob and I and whoever else wants to sing some Iron and Wine songs. So I've already chosen a few, and I've been working on them on my vacation, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm trying to throw some curveballs to Sam to see what he's going to do. You know, want to mix it up. I mean, he is so chill and so down to earth. He rarely ever seems, caught off guard. He's a natural. He's really great. And he also did an amazing job on the artwork. So there'll be plenty of, I'm sure, great things to be found at the merch table with posters and whatnot. So we're really excited to get back on the road. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we'll see you on August 17th at the Rialto. Joey Burns, thank you so much. Talking about the new album from Calexico and Iron and Wine, Years to Burn. And we'll be right back with Peggy Johnson.
Zona Politics is made possible with the generous support of The Loft Cinema, Tucson's independent movie theater. The Loft features independent, foreign, and documentary films, cult classics, discussions with filmmakers, and much more, including the Loft Film Fest in November. The Loft is located at 3233 East Speedway Boulevard. Showtimes can be found at loftcinema.org.
And we're back with Zona Politics. My guest now is Peggy Johnson, the executive director of the Loft Cinema Foundation, the nonprofit organization that runs our beloved Loft Cinema. And Peggy, welcome back to Zona Politics.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
And you have a pretty big event coming up, and you're going to see if you can't get that marquee, that famous Loft Theater marquee, pretty much twice as tall as it is now. You're going to add a second panel or replace a long missing second panel, actually. So tell us a little bit about the marquee and this party you guys have planned.
Yeah, well, let me start with the marquee. When we bought the cinema in 2002, it had both panels. And people who were here before 2002 will always remember that there was a large panel and then a smaller panel on the marquee, and it was very dominant, and you could see it forever.
It was a double-decker.
It was a double-decker. And that had been that way since the early 70s. When there was a monsoon in the summer of 2002 and the sign got cut down, they got rid of the big panel rather than fix it, which, you know, I guess it made sense at the time. But ever since we've owned the theater, it's always been a dream to get it back to its original state, not only because of its historic symbolism and because theater marquees are sort of this, you know, important architectural landmark wherever they exist, and there are so few now, and we feel like it's important to get it back. But the other reason is we're so busy. And I mean, any given day we can have 8 to 10 things going on. So really the one panel, if you drive by and look at it, a lot of times it's pretty busy. So this will give us some opportunity to have some white space and to make it way more legible. So we're excited.
You mentioned you do have a lot going on there at the theater on any given day. You've got Mondo Mondays with special one-shots and Cult Classics with special showings on the weekends and all kinds of special events that folks either rent the theater out for or you bring to Tucson, and film festivals galore. It's like a film festival right. Every week at the Loft.
It basically. Really is. It really is. And it's going to be great to have the big marquee back so that we can, you know, get more information up there and acknowledge sponsors and things on a more consistent basis than we can do with the little 5-line panel that we have now. So we're really super excited about. It's also going to be LED, so it's going to save a ton of electricity because right now it's the old incandescent fluorescent. It's an energy drain, and it can be fabulous and lovely and complies with the dark sky. We're very careful about that, and the LED so that it's a little greener.
And you mentioned a lot of these theater marquees are vanishing. New theaters don't have these fancy architectural gems, and so this is really a throwback.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's the last one in Tucson, and you can remember, I mean, there might be others still standing, but they're not standing in front of a movie theater that's operating. So, you know, it used to be the standard thing. You either had if you were like, you know, the Fox and you were on a block, you had a huge marquee. But if you were a standalone, you had a monument marquee. And they're architecturally important. So we feel really excited about the opportunity to restore this one.
Let's get down to the basics here. How much is this going to cost, and how are you raising the money to do it?
Well, it's going to cost $65,000 or so, maybe more, depending on, you know, what it comes, you know, how things are when you get a bid and there's always something else. But it's a $65,000 or so project. And one of the things we're doing, we've raised money, the board has raised money, and we've raised other funds, but our last push to raise the last money we need will be on the 29th of June. We're showing the director's cut of Woodstock, the amazing documentary that is going to be just a big party and fun, and we're going to have a really good time. We're going to have food and drinks and the movie and all kinds of other costume contests, and it's going to be, as Jeff Yance, our program director, likes to put it, we put the fun in fundraising. So, you know, we don't do these kinds of events very often, so we're really excited to be able to throw this big party and raise money for the Marquee.
And it is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, which I assume had something to do with you choosing this particular
exactly.
theme. But you're hoping folks are going to come out dressed in period costumes and really have a rock and roll evening.
A bunch of hippies. Yep. A bunch of hippies at the Loft. You know, it's that boomer generation that's our music. And then I think a lot of younger people also appreciate those days and that incredible music that was coming out at that time. So we think it's going to be great. We also are going to do a silent auction. Another thing we as the Loft staff have never done, and we think we've really knocked it out of the park with this. We've got an original movie poster, we've got a book of photographs that is going to be incredible. We've got photographs from one of our board members, Tim Fuller, who was there. We've got four seats in screen one that haven't been named yet that we'll be auctioning off, and other stuff. It's just going to be really fun and exciting, and I think I'm really excited about it, and the response so far has been great.
And talk a little bit about what the world of independent movie houses are like these days. I mean, the Loft is run by your nonprofit organization and has been I think truly a Tucson treasure in terms of just the alternative cinema as well as
right.
the fun. Well, alternative cinema is fun too, but you guys do all kinds of other fun, like I was saying earlier, the Mondo Monday stuff, the cult classic stuff,
right.
plus art
right.
house stuff, plus major releases as
right.
as they become available. But talk a little bit about the world of the independent cinema these days.
Well, it's interesting. I belong to this international group of art houses, which in Europe, they're so strong. There's thousands and you know, like, it's just such a strong presence in Europe because they get government funds, because they don't want France and Italy and Spain and Germany don't want Hollywood movies to be the only movies that people in their country get to see. It becomes an issue of cultural identity. If we only see American movies, you know, how does that make us feel as Germans or Italians? So
you can only watch the Avengers so many times,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly. So there's a big movement over there, and so we share that. You know, it's getting the distributors and the production houses continue to merge, and there becomes fewer and fewer options and less diversity and the kinds of projects that are getting greenlighted and the kinds of projects that are getting distributed. But having said that, you know, the art cinema world and the smaller movies and the international movies and the American indies are better than ever and so exciting. So it's just important, I think, that Tucson people have a chance to go see something that's not, you know,
the Avengers.
Well said. Based on a comic book, that's not a sequel, that's not a, you know, part of a series, that's something fresh and artistic and fun and interesting or whatever it is, you know, but that's outside of that Hollywood machine. There's nothing wrong with Hollywood movies.
Oh,
but
no, I think the latest Avengers
I know
movie
you're
is
a
my,
big fan.
My favorite movie in the world, but that doesn't mean it should be the only movie people get to watch.
And not only even if you don't want to go, it's just important that we have access to alternative product. You know, I used to be on public television. We used to say the same thing. There's nothing wrong with commercial television, but if that's all you have, it's not so good. So it's the same basic concept, you know, just giving people a choice to go see something, you know, that's not making $100 million a weekend, you know, to see something that's maybe a little bit more artistic, driven by passion by a filmmaker that has a story to tell. I mean, we have Last Black Man in San Francisco coming up, which is a perfect example of a passion project. These two young guys, you know, write this movie. They grew up in San Francisco and they go back and and they make this kind of personal film about what gentrification and so on in San Francisco has meant to them. And that's the kind of films that, you know, not everybody wants to see them, but if you want to see them, you should be able to see them on the big screen. And that's kind of our mission. And a lot of cities don't have that option. So Tucson's lucky to have and that's how we felt when we bought the loft. We didn't want it to go away.
Exactly. And let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff you guys have coming up this summer. You are doing your usual kids film festival
in
July. And you're kicking that off with some Looney Tunes on the big screen outdoors, actually, this year at the Himmel Park, where you guys do movies on a semi-regular basis.
Right. I think we're doing them once a month now, but we have started doing the opening night of the Kids Fest and the opening Friday night of the regular Loft Film Fest at Himmel Park with our solar cinema, which is a solar-powered, it's a van with solar panels on it and batteries inside, so we use solar power to inflate the screen and run the projector and the sound system. So it's a statement of, you know, our values, our core values of being as green as possible and maybe exposing people to that idea. And then also just being able to take movies to neighborhoods and rural communities has just been really fun. So the Kids Fest is definitely an institution in Tucson at this point.
Yeah, and you have the opening night, Friday, July 19th, with the Looney Tunes on the big screen. And then you have movies for the next 10 days going on free. For
yes,
kids.
Everything's free. Popcorn is free. The movies are free. We give away free stuff. We have activities. They make things. And, you know, it's all free. It's
and those are all showing, I think, 10 a.m. on during the week for folks whose kids are getting a little antsy, getting ready to go back to school. This is a great opportunity for you to find a place to do something with your kids in the morning. And then you have a whole bunch else. You have the movies of Cher going on this month. You're doing a special series on that.
Yes.
You've mentioned you're taking your van out on the road. It's going everywhere from Sells down to the Empire Ranch to Old Tucson.
Right.
Live concert films like the Cure anniversary movie 1978 to 2018 on Tuesday, July 16th. And I know I look over the schedule you guys have and it blows my mind.
Blows my mind too.
That Jeff Yance must never stop over there.
It really doesn't. And it's a very event heavy summer, I would say. You know, we're doing things almost every day, if not every day. So it's going to be a lot of variety. And I think we'll hit a lot of audiences with, you know, I mean, not everybody wants to see Bill and Ted's Excellent Double Feature, but the people who do will be there and they will be in love with that screening. And, you know, it's just a really fun way. I mean, I think that's one of the benefits of film as our product is that if there is something for everyone, you know, at some point you're going to find something that connects with you and maybe you'll come back and see something else after that.
And you can even make your own at your first Friday Shorts
you can,
event and bring in your own film and possibly win a cash prize. I got to say thank you so much for everything that you do over there at the Loft because it is a true Tucson treasure. And one more time for the details about your fundraiser with the Woodstock film to raise the marquee.
To raise the marquee, it's Saturday, June 29th, and we're going to actually start construction on the marquee. We're planning to do that on Monday, July 1st. So 2 days later, if depending on the monsoons and all of that, we should be up with construction 2 days later. So we're raising funds to restore the marquee, and we're going to be having a silent auction. Your ticket gets you dinner, two drinks, the film, and all the little entertainment. There's musicians, there's face painting, there's all kinds of things going on, and costume contest. So it should just be a fun packed night. And in the end, you know, a great way to raise money for our marquee.
All right. My guest has been Peggy Johnson from the Loft Cinema Foundation. Check out everything that's going on at the Loft at loftcinema.org, where you will find just an astounding variety of films. Talk about diversity. You're going to find it
Absolutely.
There. Peggy, thank you so much for joining us here on Zone of Politics.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
That is our show for this week. Join us again next week, and we'll be talking some more about what's going on in Tucson. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for Zone of Politics is provided by Hotel Congress in historic downtown Tucson. Hotel Congress is known for its world-famous taproom, Cup Cafe, and Club Congress, offering local and national acts inside and outside on the plaza. More information at hotelcongress.com and 622-8848.